Hello, and thanks for listening to the October 2007 installment of our SearchWindowsSecurity.com podcast series, Ask the Security Expert Roundup. My name is Dave Nielsen, and I'm the Assistant Site Editor on SearchWindowsSecurity.com. This month, our site welcomed a brand new expert, Brad Dinnerman. Brad is the founder and president of the National Information Security Group, NAISG, the former chair of the Boston Area Exchange Server User Group, and a member of the FBI's InfraGuard Boston Members Alliance. He's also an employee of Microsoft, so he's got the 411 when it comes to Windows security. Brad will be tackling everything you need to know related to Windows networking security, whether it be Active Directory security concerns, questions about Windows Server 2003, group policy, access management, you name it. So let's see if Brad knows his stuff. His very first question was about limiting the rights of a user on remote desktop. Our reader asks,
we are using remote desktop in Windows Server 2003 for server management. The current configuration of the application server allows all remote desktop users full control of the server, its files, and its data. We want to limit the user's rights by removing their access to Windows Explorer and the DOS command prompt, but when they try to save a report setup within the application, they cannot browse the folders. How can we fix this?
According to Brad, the solution to this problem depends on the nature of the application that your remote desktop end users are running. If you create shares on the folders that contain the data and then map drive letters to them, the application may allow you to configure it to automatically open save from that drive letter by bypassing the use of Windows Explorer. Alternatively, you can configure a startup application in the Terminal Services Configuration Administrative Console. Number one, start the console and select the connections node in the left pane. Number two, in the right pane, double-click RDP TCP to open its properties sheet. Number three, select the environment tab and then click the third radio button. Start the following program when the user logs on. Number four, enter the full path to the program in the program path and file name field, such as C:\programfiles, Microsoft Office, Office 11 winword.exe, and enter just the part in the start in field, such as C:\programfiles, Microsoft Office, Office 11. Last, click OK to save your changes. The next time a user logs on to that terminal server, he will see only the application that you've specified and will not be able to navigate around the server outside of that application. Convinced that Brad knows what he's talking about yet? No? Well, maybe you need to hear him wax poetic on a topic like group policy. Our next reader asked Brad the following question.
Our computers access the internet through a proxy server. I have to configure the proxy settings on a per-user and per-computer basis, which makes for a very time-consuming work. How can I use group policy so I don't need to log on to each computer as a user to enter the proxy settings?
Well, according to Brad, to solve that problem, first, you log on to a server or administrative workstation that has the proxy settings correctly configured. Then start your group policy management console and create a policy on the appropriate user and computer organizational units as follows. Give the policy a name, such as configure proxy settings or any other friendly name you want. Set security on the policy. Add those users and/or computers to which this policy should apply. If you want it to apply to all computers on the domain, and for all users, then add the domain computers and authenticated user groups, respectively. Right-click the policy name and select Edit. Drill down to Computer Configuration, Administrative Templates, Windows Components, Internet Explorer. Enable the setting in the right pane for Make Proxy Settings Per Machine rather than Per User. Drill down to User Configuration, Windows Settings, Internet Explorer Maintenance, Connection. In the right pane, double-click the Connection Settings node. Select the option to import the current connection settings from this machine. Customize the settings if desired, and click OK. If you're still looking for more proof that Brad knows what's up with Windows security, he also gives some helpful advice on this Microsoft security tool.
In Windows Firewall, how would I add new applications named FTP using TCP port 21?
You can accomplish this by opening the Windows Firewall from the control panels and then selecting the Exceptions tab. Click the Add Port button, give the service a friendly name such as FTP, type 21 in the port field, and select TCP from the radio buttons. Click OK until you are out of the Windows Firewall dialog. this change should take effect immediately and you'll not need to restart your computer. Alternatively, you can use RegEdit to make this change on your computer or on a remote computer, but you'll need administrative rights to do this. First, open RegEdit on the PC to which you're logged. 2. Connect to the remote PC if desired. 3. Navigate to the following key. H key, local machine system, current control set, services, shared access, parameters, firewall policy, domain profile, globally open ports, list. 4th, create a new string, reg_sz value. Name it 21:TCP. 5, give it the following value, 21:TCP:*enabled:FTP. 6, close regedit. Note that the registry entry configured this way will permit FTP access to that workstation from all IP addresses, as indicated by that asterisk. Okay, so that concludes the October edition of our Ask the Security Expert Roundup. Thanks for listening today and getting to know our new expert, Brad Dinnerman. Now that we've gone through a couple of Brad responses, hopefully you've got a feel for his ability to answer whatever questions you might have about the security of your Windows network. If you have any more questions for Brad or any of our other security experts, be sure to visit the searchwindowssecurity.com Ask the Expert library and email us. Thanks again for joining me today, and of course, we all owe a very special thanks to Kristen Cipolletti of searchwindcomputing.com for giving everybody a break from my voice today. Have a good one, everybody.